Welcome to Conversations on the Mormon Channel. Conversations is an informal interview program featuring members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who have a unique perspective or an interesting story. This interview is with Sister Rosemary M. Wixom, Primary General President of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Sister Wixom was sustained to this position in April 2010. She is joined in this interview by her husband, Jack Wixom. The host for this episode of Conversations is Heidi Swinton. Heidi is the author of numerous books and documentaries on church-related topics, including the biography of President Thomas S. Monson.
Welcome to the Mormon Channel. We have with us today Sister Rosemary Wixom, General President of the Primary of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and her husband, Jack Wixom. I'm Heidi Swinton. And we love doing these programs because it's an opportunity for us to talk to people who have had amazing life experiences that are both inspirational to us and in many ways instructional. Brother Wixom has been a stake president. He has been a mission president in Washington, D.C., where his wife served at his side. She has served on the Primary General Board, the Young Women's General Board, and now is serving as the president of the primary. So we're in for a treat today. I have to admit that I know the Wixoms really well. We've been friends for decades, and we have some really tender experiences that we've shared together. So let's just start out. Some people won't know what the primary is in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So Sister Wixom, tell us just a little bit about the primary.
Heidi, in LDS church buildings all over the world, there's one room. I'm sorry. Can you tell I get emotional when I talk about primary? But there's one room tucked away in the corner of every building that's the happiest place, and that is primary, because that is where children ages 3 through 12 are taught through doctrine, through music, and they feel the Spirit, they interact with each other, and they come to know about Jesus Christ. And it happens every Sunday in primary, all over the world, in different languages, in different countries. It's a beautiful part of this Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Tell us a little bit about your growing up years. And we want to hear from you too, Brother Wixom, on this. And be sure you put in a story about your twin sister.
Well, I came into this world just 5 minutes ahead of my sister, and I won't let her forget it. But it was a beautiful way to grow up. And as little girls on Thursday afternoons, we would leave our elementary school and walk to primary. It wasn't very far away. Oh, maybe 3 blocks, and there would be a huge migration. Was it that way for you too? A huge migration of children going from the elementary school to primary on Thursday afternoon. And there we would have, much like we do today, an opening exercises and then individual class time. But primary for me was really a beginning. It reinforced what I was being taught at home. I was taught in my home, and when I would go to primary, I would relearn those same principles. I still remember receiving my New Testament. Do you remember that with your picture in the front? I remember cross-stitching Greet the Day with a song, Make Others Happy or Serve Gladly. I can't remember specifically, but it's still hanging on my laundry room wall, what I made in primary. And I remember my primary teachers. I still remember those primary teachers.
Was there one that stands out? Something that she did that has made a difference all your life?
Yes. Sister Griffiths. She was a widow. She was a young widow in her late 20s. She had 2 little girls. And I remember making chocolate chips in her kitchen for a primary activity. And we took those chocolate chip cookies. Those chocolate chip cookies is what we made. But we took them to her friend who was ill. And it was Christmas time, and we caroled to her. And we not only learned about service, but it was one of my first experiences outside of my family realm of service.
Tell us a little bit about your family. Where do you come in the order of things other than you're older than your twin sister?
Right. Roseanne and I have a brother 6 years older and a brother 8 years younger.
Wow.
So we were sandwiched in between. And I was born in Ogden, Utah. My father was a sixth grade school teacher at the time. And we lived there till we were three, and then we moved to Salt Lake City.
Brother Wixom, tell us about your early life.
Well, I grew up in Salt Lake City as well, in Salt Lake County. And our primary was about 3/4 of a mile from our house. So my trek to primary led me past Dan Rasmussen's house, who we would pick up, and together we would walk to primary. And there was a song then. It was called, Let's Go to Primary. We'd sing that, probably out of a little bit of a jest at the time, but we went to primary, and I remember the times there being wonderful and a good crowd of young people in our neighborhood. There were about 20 of us who were the same age. And are within a couple of years of each other, and we all went together. I had a bandolo on there. There were different skills. It was a green bandolo with plastic things that would go on there. And I still have that. It's in my trunk with my other Boy Scout stuff. I remember the friendships, and I remember how difficult it was for the teacher to control the energy of the boys of that age. And she did a great job.
Now, Brother Wixom, you've told us about your 20 friends, but tell us about your family, growing up in your family. What was it like?
Well, I grew up in a family where my father worked most of the time. He was a surveyor during the day, and then he worked at Dan's as a grocery bagger and at Sears as a salesman the rest of the evenings. And so I didn't see him a lot when I was younger, but a very loving person to me and to my mother. My mother was my best friend. And I had an opportunity to come home from school each day, and she made draperies in the home. So for the first hour that I was home, I'd help her fold draperies in our basement in the board that she made the draperies on. And we'd talk about everything in the world. And she was very, very educated. Although she never attended college, she read and read and read, so she would talk about things. I have an older sister, a younger sister, and a younger brother. And the four of us had a great time growing up, especially with families, and we'd travel a lot. We traveled on a vacation every summer that would take us hither and yon, and we loved to be with one another.
Sister Wixom, you've talked about an experience that you had when you were young in feeling the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
I was 12 years old. It was a fast and testimony meeting. And I didn't go that day intending to bear my testimony. In fact, to stand up in front of the whole ward was something I had never done. I hadn't had that experience. And so, but I was so moved during that fast and testimony meeting from the spirit that I felt from other testimonies that I found myself standing on my feet. And I bore a simple testimony. I don't even remember what I said to this day. But it brought tears and such emotion that afterwards I was so baffled by it and really embarrassed. But it was my mother who helped me understand. Mm. That was the spirit of the Holy Ghost.
Wonderful thing to learn so early. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have felt that multiple times since.
I have.
Now, you went on to go to Utah State University, which was not a far distance from Salt Lake, but still a distance from Salt Lake. And you went with your sister.
Yes,
as I understand. So tell us a little bit about that. What doors opened to you in your life from your Utah State experience?
It was a valuable experience for me. I didn't want to leave home, but I wanted the experience to see if I could stand on my own. Roseanne and I both felt that together, and so there we found ourselves at Utah State University, living in a dorm, and I learned about life in many ways, and I learned about myself, and I learned about being independent and deciding to stand as a witness myself. I came across situations that caused me to think, what do I believe? I was asking myself questions I had never asked myself before. And where do I stand? And what do I want for the future? And what is really important in my life? And through finding those answers, I came to know for myself. And that's when I chose to major in elementary education. I always wanted to be a teacher. I loved the whole concept of learning, and to be able to help a child learn was my lifetime goal.
Well,
so
and here
I majored.
You are helping children learn. I mean, you're at that point. Isn't that amazing? Besides your own family, all the children in the world are learning with you at the helm.
Well, it is a blessing, but I have great empathy and love for those teachers who gather those children on Sundays because those are the real teachers.
Now, not last week or so, but you gave a fireside for the church education system from Utah State. And we've got just a little clip of it that we're going to play, and then I want you to comment on it. If you'll just talk to us a little bit about how you came to know some of those things.
Okay.
We come to know the Savior when we allow Him into our lives. We are more eager to forgive and more willing to serve when He is a part of our lives. When our hearts are open and receptive, we become more like Him. It is then that we discover He has been with us all the time. We are at peace. Our trials are no longer burdens, but blessings, because they paved the path that took us to Him.
Important message for that age group, but for all of us. So talk to us about coming to know in your own life, how you've come to know.
I think we have defining moments in our lives. Every one of us can point to some time or some place where the Spirit taught us, and we came to know for ourselves that Heavenly Father is our Father, and that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that we can trust in Him, and we're never the same.
Yeah.
And we remember where we were when we came to know, and we remember what scripture we were reading that had an impact on us, or perhaps a conversation. Or even perhaps a visual. I've been traveling where just out of the corner of my eye, I will see a child on a street. And I will not forget what I felt and came to know when I looked at that child. Mm. The Spirit taught me about the needs of children, maybe internationally, maybe all over the world, maybe a particular circumstance for that child, but the Lord provides for us those opportunities. When we do come to know, we remember what we once knew, for this earth is a time of remembering.
Brother Wixom, when have you had an experience where you came to know something? You've had such varied experiences in church leadership.
You know, it started very young. I remember my father, it was a Sunday afternoon, and he put his arm around me and he said, "We're going to read about Joseph Smith." Mm-hmm. And we read the beginning chapters, not even the chapters, the beginning introduction to the Book of Mormon. And I remember the sun coming through and how good I felt about this is the truth. Then as I grew up, my friends and I, we talked a lot about the gospel. And we jointly, more than anything else, made decisions to go on a mission, to go and serve. And I remember distinctly the evening in the mission field. There's one that comes for just about every missionary where you're testifying and where you open your mouth and they aren't your words. They're the words of the Savior. And they're pouring forth into the hearts of the people and you can feel that. And I went home and recorded that in my journal. I watched that happen again and again as missionaries discovered the same thing as we presided over them in the mission field. I watched them come to the point where they had to testify. It was part of them. It came forth without compulsory means, and I love that. I just am so grateful that I have had so many witnesses. Someone asked me one time, "Why do you believe?" And I said, "I can't but believe.
Yeah.
How could I not believe because of what's happened in my life?
I love the statement that President Monson makes about that. He says, when we learn of Jesus Christ, when we believe in Jesus Christ and we follow Jesus Christ, we become like Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You're listening today to Conversations on the Mormon Channel. And we're here with Brother and Sister Wixom and talking about their life. You can just go to themormonchannel.org and you can download it, and you can download a lot of others that are available. Now we're going to go back and talk for just a minute about how the two of you got together. Now you're a student at Utah State. You graduated, I think, from the University of Utah. Okay, so there's some distance between you. How did you get together?
That's a great story.
Good.
I was out shopping for a wedding gift for a friend who I'd been very close with at the University of Utah. And I wanted something special, and I had in mind mugs. You know, that's not special to anybody else but me. And so I went to the Paris department store to obtain some mugs as a gift. And I had this beautiful, wonderful, cheerful sales clerk. And guess who it was? It was Rosemary. Excuse me, Sister Wixom.
So sometimes he'll say, we met in Paris. We did. The Paris department store.
Always gets a good laugh. But anyway, she was working there, and we talked for a long time. She finally told me where to go get the mugs. So I went down, and Pearson's got the mugs. And I was walking down the hall, and I said to myself, and I think it was the Spirit's prompting. I know it was. You would be absolutely crazy if you didn't ask her to go home. So I walked back up to the Paris department store, third floor, and said, Rosemary, we've talked. Would you ride home with me? She said, I'll ask my mother. I thought, wow.
There's more to that. My mother was going to pick me up. And so, of course, I just called. But I knew from our conversation that Jack knew my brother Jeff well, and I knew he was a returned missionary, and I could see a light. And of course I wanted to get to know this handsome man that just came into the Paris department store. So we did go home that night, rode home together, and it began a courtship of that summer. Then he left to go away to graduate school, and I went back to Utah State. So we have boxes of letters that we wrote for that next year. And it was way before emails and couldn't afford phone calls.
Couldn't afford them.
So they're in the form of letters.
And treasures.
Their choice. Treasures. Real treasures.
Absolute treasures.
We were married the following August.
August.
Wow. So about a year and a couple of months maybe that you were together. And you've got six wonderful children and eight grandchildren. What have you learned as parents that you could share with all of us that kind of give us a glimpse into your happy home and how things worked for you?
I would have to say that we have learned now, and we know more now than ever before, of the importance of the gospel in our homes, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and simply living it. Simply making it a part of every day, every conversation. Mm-hmm. It's the air we breathe. And I had no idea, and probably took it for granted growing up, because I had that spirit in my home. And then when we became parents, all of a sudden, we took it more seriously, didn't we?
We did, and I think it's probably because the two of us had, from the very beginning, recognized in each other this level of faith that the gospel of Jesus Christ was number one. And that if we would serve and do what the Lord asked us to do and share that with our children, it would give them a path on which to walk as well.
Right. But we weren't perfect.
Well, say that.
We made lots of mistakes along the way. And we learned as we would go along. Jack's mother used to have a phrase about parenting that we've always applied. She said, I was semi-loose tight. Because you have to give a little, tighten up. Each little choice, each circumstance is different. But we did learn that we were, when we were together in our parenting, then we had a greater impact and influence on our children.
Yeah.
We also had the thought that it was very important for the children to discover and to test themselves. And that semi-loose tight was applied in our home, where we would give them our idea of what was right and wrong, but left to them the choice of whether or not to follow that.
Yeah.
And sometimes they didn't make the right decisions, and they felt it afterwards, not from us, but from themselves. And we also thought that one of our roles was to make sure that they grew up independent.
Yeah.
That they could stand on their own two feet rather than having to come back to us for any direction. And that seemed to work.
Yeah. Great times.
Aren't they wonderful?
Yeah, and you talk about having family dinner now on Sunday afternoons.
Yes.
And getting everybody together. Are many of them here in the area?
4 of our 6 live in Salt Lake.
Oh, nice.
And one lives in Texas now, and one is moving from Buffalo, New York to Portland next month. And so that Portland's a little closer than Buffalo.
Yeah.
But that has become a family tradition. We don't do it every Sunday, but whenever possible, we put the word out, who can come for family dinner, and everyone brings a part of the meal, and it's my favorite time of the week. Our house just comes alive with the voices of grandchildren, and we're now at the stage where we're watching our children lead the conversation. Are you having that
experience?
Isn't
that amazing to watch them parent?
Yes.
Watch them parent.
I love watching them parent, and I love watching them interact with each other. And sometimes we're just sort of watching.
That's exactly
we call it irrelevant. We call it irrelevant.
Yeah.
Friday, we just sit in the back and we say,
hello.
Are we a part of this? But then we watch them interact.
It's
and the way they teach each other.
Yeah.
And the
beautiful
way they share in their parenting. We just think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It's just a marvelous experience to be in that place. Well, let's talk a little bit about being called as the primary president. Now, I remember in March, 2 years ago, I was sitting in President Monson's outer office because at the time I was doing research on his life for his biography. And I was sitting there and I saw the two of you walk in the door and I looked over at you and I didn't want to intrude on the moment, but I knew what was ahead. And I kind of wanted to be the first one to raise my hand and say, yes, this is a great choice. So you went into President Monson's office. Tell us about the experience, getting the phone call, going into his office, all that came with it.
It is a life-changing experience. Yeah. And it was so sweet to see you that day. The day before, I was at home working on my computer. I received a phone call from President Monson's secretary. Would my husband and myself come and meet with President Monson the next day? Well, just the thought of it, I said, oh, of course, we'll be there. I hung up and quickly called Jack and said, Jack, tomorrow we've been asked to meet with President Monson. And Jack
said
to me,
what time?
And I said, I'm not quite sure. I stopped listening when I heard the name President Monson. I had to call back and say, oh, forgive me, but would you tell me, would you remind me what time? And she laughed and said, I wondered if you wouldn't be a little nervous. So the next morning, not knowing what it was about, but knowing that that my life was probably about to change, I went to the temple. I had to be in the temple. I had to feel the spirit there, but I had to be reminded and renew those covenants. And so at 1 o'clock, we were there, ready to go. And that's when I saw you when we were walking in that office out of the corner of my eye. President Monson was absolutely the kindest, dearest priesthood leader one could ever imagine. You would know that.
He is that.
For over an hour.
Yeah.
He taught us by telling us stories about children. He showed us the stick of gum that's in a little box in his drawer and the story of the little girl in Germany after the war. He told us story after story. And then after all those stories, he said, "Sister Wixom, I bet you're wondering why we've called you into my office today." He was with Elder Hales. And then he proceeded to say, "The Quorum of the 12 Apostles and the First Presidency would like to call you to be the primary general president." Well, when you hear those words, you are never the same. And it just caught my breath. And I could feel the tears splashing off my cheeks as I just said, "Oh, President Monson." And then we visited for a few minutes, and then he said, Sister Wixom, I don't know that I've heard your answer yet." Oh, of course, President Monson. But my first reaction was a love for children all over the world. And it's never left me. When I see them in the grocery store, when I see them with their parents or in the arms of friends at church, the Lord has blessed me. And I knew then that I was not alone in this calling, and He would never leave me, and that the only way I could do it was with the Lord at my side.
Yeah. You know, Heidi, it was very interesting because every one of those stories that he told us had a purpose. And they don't all come together until after that, you know, you see each one of the purposes of those stories. And we've rehearsed those with one another again and again. Yeah. That same thing happened when I was called as the president of the mission. Yeah. He taught us for an hour just with stories about how to handle challenges without ever telling us that's what you do. He just told the story.
Yeah. We sometimes think he's just telling us stories, and he's not. He's teaching us doctrine. He's giving us guidance.
Absolutely.
He's giving us counsel. And how wise of you to pick up on that so quickly.
We were blessed by it, and it's just been a great thing when we reminisce and we sit and we talk about this calling, about the stories that we're told and how we can apply them. It's been a beautiful thing.
Now, you mentioned that you'd been in President Monson's office when you were called to serve a mission. We have another connection on that because we walked out of his office having been called to serve a mission, and you walked in right behind us.
We passed in the hallway.
And we winked.
And we did. I looked at you and I thought, well, oh, we're in good company. How is it now for you to be in a position of supporting her? How have you had to change things in your home and in your life?
I watched Rosemary for 35 years struggle with six children on the bench in front of the pulpit where I sat. And I watched her serve me when I would come and eat my dinner running through the kitchen, as you're probably aware, as Jeff did the same thing. Always being there to support me. And I feel greatly blessed that I can give her back just a little bit.
And he's learned the difference between a cucumber and a zucchini.
That's right.
One night we were eating this delicious meal Jack had fixed, and I said, "Well, this is interesting, zucchini." And I said, "And how did you fix?" "Well, I just put it in the pan, sliced it up, a little salt and pepper and butter." And we both started laughing about the same time when we came to realize he had cooked a cucumber.
But that's all right, wasn't it, huh?
It was. It was delicious. But he's never stopped trying new recipes since then.
I usually cook two or three meals a week, and they're about the same thing. They're very simple, but I do have the opportunity to serve her. And she asked my opinion about some things, but I know one thing, that the Spirit flows through her, and I watch it, and I am so blessed to see that in our home. I am blessed because I know that it doesn't come from her. It comes from above. And that's a blessing for our children as well, because when they flock, they listen to what she says because it is a pure pipeline.
Yeah. In every calling, no matter what we're asked to do, we have that connection with the Lord. And you see it so apparent in something that reaches so broadly, and you're an example of that, respecting that ever present responsibility to follow the Lord and take his guidance.
it's a blessing in our home that we have so much to share.
Yeah.
I think the mission that we shared together was a great contributor to that. It was the most unifying and wonderful experience we've ever had together up till this point.
Yeah.
And
you can relate.
You can relate to that. I mean, it's an opportunity to just share everything. And it was such a blessing. When we left to come home, it was very hard for us because it had been such a singular, wonderful, devoted opportunity to serve.
What did you learn in the mission, as the mission mom, that you've been able to apply? You can see how the Lord was preparing you in another way for the assignment that you have today.
I learned volumes. I think one of the greatest lessons, though, I learned on our mission was to see the Lord's hand in this gospel of Jesus Christ. I saw it in the lives of the missionaries.
Yeah.
I saw the change in the missionaries and the change in the families and the people that they would teach. I saw a change in myself. I saw a change in us, in our family. When you give that much energy mm-hmm. and love and devotion, the Lord looks for ways to bless you in every aspect of your life. But to watch the miracles happen and to see the Lord's hand and see how He has a plan. And He has a plan for each individual. And when we give Him ourselves and we give Him our service and our love and our commitment, He looks for ways to bless us. And they're so prevalent. It was a sweet experience. It was a sweet time to become unified in our service. We hadn't had that experience before.
We were doing separate things, and this was one to do together.
We're just going to take a quick break and remind you that you're listening to Conversations on the Mormon Channel. And we're here today with Sister Rosemary Wixom, the General President of the Primary, and her husband, Brother Jack Wixom. And before we go to another conversation with them, I want to remind you that you can go to Facebook and you can do a thumbs up like of the Mormon Channel. We'd love to have you be a part of that. So, next question. You've been called as the Primary President. How did you go about selecting your counselors? What was your process and what were you looking for?
Oh, I knew immediately
really?
That these sisters needed to be. I knew I had a hunch who they would be, but I needed to know if that's who the Lord wanted. And it was a process of prayer and pondering. And through that process, I came to know that I needed to be surrounded by sisters who had talents and gifts that I did not have.
Mm-hmm.
And that opened the door really far. But without a doubt, I came to know. But the sweetest experience I remember was the confirmation of that the morning that Elder Hales called me. I was at home. In fact, I was tending two of my little grandchildren in the family room when the phone rang. And Elder Hale said, "Sister Wixom, these names need to go in today to the first presidency. Do you have a confirmation?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Let's have a prayer together." Now, here I was at home, and he was in his office. He said, "Kneel down." And he told me the other priesthood leaders that were in the room with him. And he said, "I'm going to offer the prayer. And I'm going to say the names, and we'll get a confirmation together." So I said to those little grandchildren, "Now we're going to have a prayer, so we need to be quiet. Let's fold our arms." And we all knelt, and I heard Elder Hales offer a prayer over the phone. It was not a short prayer.
Wow.
And when he concluded, he said, "Sister Wixom, how do you feel?" And I said, "Oh, Elder Hales, without a doubt, these are the sisters." And he said, "I agree. I prayed until I had that confirmation." So you see, this can happen in very unique ways.
What a wonderful story. Let's talk for a minute about how you use your counselors. What is their role in the presidency, and how do you participate together?
Well, one of the sweetest parts of our day is when we begin in the morning and we gather around the round table in the primary president's room. This morning, being the first day of the week that we met, we always have a scripture, a thought, and a scripture reading together. And then we kneel at that table and have a prayer. This morning, our prayer was uniquely about the specific responsibilities we have right in front of us. And the Spirit floods into the room every time, and I feel it. There is so much love around that table. These are sisters, Sister Esplin, Sister Stevens, who have become not only my counselors, but good friends, almost like sisters, as we are unified in serving in the primary. I've given them each specific responsibilities of different aspects of our service of primary. And so they're responsible for those particular areas. And when we have a question about faith in God, I turn to Sister Esplin. If we have a question about the internet site and what's on LDS.org for primary, I turn to Sister Stevens. And so they're reporting back continually, and we discuss and counsel together.
I'll tell you something that's very interesting, is that it doesn't stop with the time they're in the office. There are phone calls any time of the day or night, any place we are. I always drive because Rosemary needs to talk on the phone, and there are many conversations that need to be held. And it's a wonderful thing to listen because it's always just so positive and so supportive. These are wonderful women, and it's just so exciting to watch them work together.
Plus, we have a good time. We probably have way too much fun.
That's right.
Well, how can you not have fun when you've got the Spirit with you? You know, that joy is what it's really all about, isn't it?
It surely is.
Yeah. Well, in your first address at General Conference, I don't know what that felt like for you, but tell us about it, and then we want to listen to a little clip of it. So tell us a little bit about just the preparation for it, what it felt like to get up and walk down those stairs and stand before everyone and address them as the general president. What number are you in as the general president?
I'm 12.
12. Okay. What was it like that first time that you stood at General Conference and spoke to millions around the world?
Yeah. I'll tell you, I knew the message, and the reason I knew the message was that 2 weeks after we were called, Elder Hales called me to his office, and he asked me a question. What is the taproot that will anchor a child in the wind? And as we, as a presidency, discussed that question, we came up with several answers. Finally, one day, we came to the conclusion, it's the plan of salvation. It's children knowing the plan and walking the path back to Heavenly Father.
Wow.
So we went from there. That was a message for children to know where they came from, why they're here, and where they're going. Yeah. An eternal perspective.
Yeah.
So when I received the assignment, I knew the message.
Oh.
And the Lord tutored me. It was a process and many hours. But the Lord tutored me with experiences as I would watch others in their lives and messages. I came to know the importance of teaching children. Yeah. That if we don't teach them as parents and primary leaders, the world will.
Yeah.
And we need to teach them now what we want them to know 5 years from now, 5, 10, 20 years from now. So the message was clear. And when it came, I was fortified with that, but nevertheless, it's very intimidating and very scary as I listened carefully to Elder Holland's talk so I would know exactly when they gave me his last two sentences so I would know when to leave my seat and go down and sit and wait. But as we could only expect, a peace comes over you and you stand straight and you give the message because the Lord has put it in your heart. You let him make your mouth work as difficult and as dry as it got. The Lord helps you through it. And I was sustained and I'm so grateful for that blessing.
Let's listen to just a little clip out of that talk and people can understand where you were going with it.
The world will teach our children if we do not.
And children are capable of learning all the world will teach them at a very young age. What we want them to know 5 years from now needs to be part of our conversation with them today. Teach them in every circumstance. Let every dilemma, every consequence, every trial that they may face provide an opportunity to teach them how to hold on to gospel truths.
Now that's a message given at General Conference with lots of people. But you're going around the world speaking to leaders and helping them to grasp how to do what they're asked to do. When you're sitting down with people who are new to the gospel and maybe never went to primary themselves, what kinds of things, what do you say to them in this much more familiar and less structured setting?
I believe everyone can relate to being a child and to the feelings and wonder that a child feels. That message of my father used to talk to me when I would have a brand new baby, and I remember one sentence he always said. He said, "Rosemary, he's waiting for you to teach him." And because of that, I've come to know that regardless if you're a member of this Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or if you are not a member, you still love children and you have a desire to help them understand, to help them on the path. It's a part of us as mothers and fathers to turn to our children and to guide them. And so we have that in common. But how we teach them and what we teach them comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The pattern is there. The Lord's provided the methods and the doctrine.
I've had a few experiences to watch her do that.
Tell us about it.
Rosemary has a unique ability to communicate with children. Mm. She goes to her knees. She looks at them eye to eye. She always has them sing a song. I'll never forget India having two little children sing, "I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." Nothing in the house except on the wall were a few pictures. One picture was of Joseph Smith. One picture was of the Savior. And another picture was of the temple.
The Hong Kong temple.
Hong Kong temple. And they had a 20-year plan where they could afford to go as a family to the temple.
Yeah. Wow. It was sweet.
That says it all, doesn't it?
It does. It's so sweet.
Yeah, it just puts it all in perspective. Where else have you traveled where you've seen the primary in full function and the children singing and participating and learning to love the way the Lord loves?
Oh, that is so choice. What a blessing to go into those primaries and see the children. I watched a little 5-year-old girl in Africa lead the singing in her primary.
Oh, cute.
She stood up and they were singing Praise to the Man. And she led them and concluded the song and was a part of the primary. I love to go into the homes, and that's one of the choicest parts of traveling and visiting. Mm-hmm. I met Luana in Buenos Aires, Argentina, an 11-year-old little girl who did not speak. Mm-hmm. I was told before we got to the family's home that Luana has not spoken for years due to a traumatic experience in her life. She has not uttered a word since then. And as I would look into her eyes and communicate with her, I would speak and talk to her. I could feel that she had a message and that she wanted to but could not. Interesting enough that right before I left, Luana, her older brother, and her little brother each gave me a picture that they had drawn. Luana's picture was of the Savior in Gethsemane, kneeling. And as I looked at that picture, I still have it today on my desk at home, I thought, Luana knows.
Yeah.
It's the atonement. That is how she's going to be able to speak someday. It's only through the atonement of Jesus Christ will she be able to overcome this difficult challenge she's dealing with.
Wow.
It's the visits in the homes. Oh, I love it.
Well, and it's certainly harkens back to the experiences that you both had in your homes. Mm-hmm. You know, and no matter where these children are, they've got people who love them, even though their circumstances mm-hmm. may not be similar to ours. It doesn't matter.
The thing that impresses me too, Heidi, is how brilliantly educated in the gospel they are.
Isn't that great?
We saw a young man who, 11 years old, they had thought he was so much older, they tried to ordain him a deacon a year early. They finally found out. But he spoke the same night as Rosemary spoke. Sister Wixom spoke in a conference. And he stood and without a note,
yes.
bore his witness, taught the gospel. And it was just a beautiful thing to watch.
The children are incredible.
Yeah. And you can see the Lord has wonderful people being prepared in primary mm-hmm. to lead the church and go forward and lead their families in difficult days ahead.
It's so wonderful to hear them sing.
Oh, I yeah. know.
Primary songs are just an education of, yeah. Of the spirit. And yeah. whenever you see these little children, we were down for a wedding of one of our son and his wife, and a whole busload of children showed up to visit. Mm-hmm. And they surrounded the temple, and they came in, and they sang songs.
They were singing.
Singing wow. about the temple and wow. about that spirit.
I want to conclude by having both of you bear your testimony, but I want to make sure that if there's something in your heart that you would like to have said and connect with someone who's out there listening, anything that you'd like to add?
I would give a message of hope. It's not hard to look around and see the difficulties of this world, the difficulties of raising children, the difficulties of technology that come into our home, and we are at the mercy of a world, these are perilous times. Mm-hmm. But there is a message of hope. And our prophet was so wise when he said that, what was it about the faith? We see through our faith, we yeah. see hope. You would know that quote better than I would. But there is a reason to have hope for the future. I see it in children. I see it in parents. It begins with parents who love each other. It begins many times with a single parent who loves their children, and who, because of their testimony, can guide and direct these children. But there is great hope and optimism for the future. It's as beautiful and bright as we will allow it to be, and as we will allow the Lord to be a part of our lives.
I would just say that children have the most amazing ability to love. Mm-hmm. They love even in yes. very dire and difficult circumstances. And that love, when reciprocated by adults and expressed by them, gives that child so much power and so much strength that they can stand against those things in the world. Mm-hmm. And when they sing the primary songs, Heavenly Father, are you really there?
It's my favorite line.
They feel it and they know it.
Yeah.
And they have that direct conduit of love. And to see primary teachers reach into those hearts and love those children, then watch them hold on. That is going to save us from all the rest of the stuff around.
Well, let's conclude by just hearing your testimonies that have been built upon all kinds of experiences and moments that you will always hold dear and that have taken you to your knees many a time. Why don't you start, Brother Wixom, and
thank you.
And Sister Wixom, let's conclude with you.
It flows easily out of me. I look to my Savior as being the salvation for my personal life. That all throughout, I look back and I think about the junctures and the decisions. I have seen His hand. It's indelibly imprinted on my back, pushing me, lifting me. And I've watched it so many times in the lives of others. As we learn to live and listen, we feel from Him that lift and the blessing, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is true. Mm-hmm. I study it. I teach it. I love it. I hope only to become someday even more closely aligned with my Savior than I am today. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true. It's restored. It is the all in all of our relationship. And I love my wife because she loves it just as I do. More so, I think, right now. And I know that it is true. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Yeah. I gather strength from Jack's testimony.
It's the way it should be.
Isn't it a great blessing? This gospel of Jesus Christ, to know that I am a child of God and that we have families that support us and love us. But to know that because we are children of God, we have the privilege and the blessing of standing as a witness for Him. That is a huge part of my testimony, that because we are children of God, we have that responsibility to stand as a witness. And I do firmly, on both feet, with my head back and my shoulders back, say, I know Jesus Christ lives. I know that this Book of Mormon that we use to teach our families is a foundation of truth for not only our children, but for future generations. And I do know that Joseph Smith led the restoration as he introduced and blessed us with this restored gospel and the priesthood that has come to this earth. We cannot raise our family. We cannot provide for our grandchildren without this gospel of Jesus Christ. It's such a part of our lives. And I testify of that truth. And a loving prophet today, President Monson, who is a dear friend and a part of our life and will always be a part of our memory of service. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
We are so grateful that the Wixons have been here with us today. And haven't we all gained from listening to them and the purity of their souls and the humility in their hearts? It's been a great moment. You've been listening to Conversations on the Mormon Channel. I'm Heidi Swinton, and we close this today saying thank you for being with us.
You've been listening to Conversations, an interview program featuring members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who have a unique perspective or an interesting story. Today's conversation was with Sister Rosemary M. Wixom, Primary General President of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and her husband, Jack Wixom. Heidi Swinton was the host. Conversations is one of the many programs offered on the Mormon Channel, the media outlet of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you have a comment, contact us through our email address, mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. You can also access us through Facebook. This and other episodes of Conversations, as well as many other programs, are available on demand or as a free download to your personal listening device. Just go to mormonchannel.org and click on Programs. Join us again for more interviews on Conversations. Make the Mormon Channel part of your day, every day.